Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Well, the September crop report is behind us, and harvest has yet to start. New crop corn finished the week lower, and the old crop managed to gain a dime. We'll discuss the reasons why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis, a commodity risk consultant with Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities here in Champaign, and Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Crude oil futures have dropped off their highs, and next year's December corn contract lost 17.5 cents to the nearby lead option. Well, at least it did if you play out the charts in the way Dave Dickey and I report our weekly changes. It's 3 cents if you just do the December contracts. The point is, one way or the other, the gap is narrowing between the deferred and the nearby. Is this, you think, a sign of a front-month demand-driven market developing, or that the funds aren't as willing to bet on higher corn prices with lower crude oil futures? And we'll start with you, Bill Mayer.
Well, I think it's probably a combination of both, Todd. I think that you do have some tightening here, some short-term tightness on the supply side, but I think it's temporary. I think it's temporary until we get into harvest and start seeing some corn come in. And I also feel like there's been some liquidation out there in the new or the 07 crop December as far as the funds go because of reduced energy prices. But I think the temporary tightness here because of harvest being somewhat delayed is probably the bigger factor.
And Clayton Pope?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors at play here. First of all, I do think that a lot of the funds, maybe particularly the index funds, had loaded up in some of the back months, maybe betting on the eventual needs for the ethanol industry to be buying some corn out there. But I think you've been seeing some pretty massive liquidation across the board there in those back months that just aren't nearly as liquid and can't really handle the same amount of selling as well as a nearby month could. But I also think maybe it's sort of seeing the handwriting on the wall that, in my opinion, we're going to see less transfer of ownership of corn this fall than we normally do in spite of the big production numbers. Simply because your average farmer out there, if he's in a area where basis is 40 under or worse, and we're already in the LDP territory and the loan is available to him, I just don't see very much selling at all. I think one way or another they're going to squirrel that away and try to maintain ownership, whether it's borrowing through the government or whatever. And that could put a kind of a facetious tightness in play for a while, which I think would firm the spreads.
And Mike Zuzolo.
Yeah, certainly those outside markets and that trade psychology has shifted around, Todd. There's a lot of more and more talk that the commodity boom, quote-unquote, is over and that the recession is coming. And you can see that with not only the back-end Dease corn, but also the bean oil complex and also the sugar. We were surprised to see October sugar, since its July high, is down 30%. So certainly some of that energy issue is spilling over into that back-end corn where some of these investors went, assuming that the ethanol demand was going to keep increasing into 07.
You know, USDA Tuesday released the September crop production and World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimate reports that pegged the nation's soybean harvest at an estimated 3.1 billion bushels and an average nationwide yield of 41.8 bushels to the acre. Now, that's bigger than last month's projection, and many analysts, including Daryl Good, say the soybean number will go up in October. The agency increased the average corn yield from 152.2 to nearly 155 bushels to the acre. It also dropped 250,000 corn acres out of the South Dakota crop. That put total corn harvest nearly equal to last year at 11.1 billion bushels. Ending stocks for the corn are 1.22 billion bushels, the soybeans at 530 million. So let's talk about the yield numbers. Some say 155 is too much for the corn, but agree that the soybean figure will go higher. What do you think?
I would think that the odds are the soybean number will increase a little bit from here. The corn number, my guess is we're kind of honing in on a number that, that we're probably fairly close to at this point. I'd be surprised to see it swing a bushel or a bushel and a half either way at this point. I don't really think it's ultimately that critical to flat price as long as that's all the swing is.
And then let's take a look at some of the other numbers that Dave Dickey dug out for this week's newsletter, which you can pick up, by the way, if you haven't been subscribed to it at WILLAG.org. And we'll stay with the yield numbers. As a stepping off point, Dave went back and tells us that seven times in the past 15 years, USDA increased its yield estimate from August to September. In those 7 years, USDA's final estimate outpaced the September number by an average of seven bushels. The record corn yield is 160.4 back in 2004. So again, 155 and 42. What do you think, Bill Mayer?
I sure don't think that's without, I think that's within reason. I think you have to look at it, and five out of the last 10 years, I know, whenever they've increased the corn number from August to September, it's increased in October. I don't know if it's methodology or whether it's, you know, what causes that, but I think you just have to assume that in a year like this, when we've had this late moisture going into the early fall, that we're going to have increases in yields probably on the October report. Mike, and probably again on the final report.
Mike, the cash corn market improved this week. Is that a sign that the August low will hold?
No, we don't think so. You know, a lot of it goes back to what this next week in weather is going to give us. The numbers that we see or the information we get from clients that we talked to this past week in corn harvest so far is the early corn's more than disappointing in more places than not, and the moisture content is very, very high. And had a good client that's up in Sublette, Illinois, that's a certified crop adjuster, and he talked about how up in his area near Dixon, Sublette, that the lodging and the dry down effects, spillover effects from a frost is really going to cause some issues. So the issue at hand becomes this weekend's weather and what it does to delay harvest even further. One thing we did look at was the basis, and it has jumped about 12 cents in that south central Illinois area. And so we're saying to folks now this weekend, go ahead and start locking in off the combine corn basis next week if rain and frost doesn't slow the pace of shelling in corn. But clearly we're back up in corn basis for fall where we have been the last 3 or 4 years. That's been a big point of contention with us, but now we're clearing that up.
Taking a look at the corn numbers for the week, December contract, by the way, had a high of 242.5, a low at 222.25. The September expired Thursday. So the December contract is your new lead option, and from Friday to Friday, there is a 10-cent gain in the lead option market at 241.75 for the December contract. It was down 4.25 if you take a look just at last week's Friday settlement in the December. December corn futures next year, 284, were off 7.25 from last week, and that settlement price last week was at 291.25. Darrell Good told us this week that he would try to take the soybean LDP later rather than earlier, suggesting soybean prices will drift lower under harvest pressure and potentially a higher bean number in October. But that, despite the skimpy pickings, he'd opt for the corn LDP ASAP. What are you telling clients about when to take LDP?
Well, I guess, Todd, I'm not sure that we know that yet. I guess I would agree with the general comments that Darrell had there as far as early, it's probably going to be earlier on corn and later on beans that you're going to see the best LDPs, but you get to a situation where you've got to decide whether you want to sell the beans, for example, and take a 20-cent LDP. I mean, you may want to go ahead and do that and avoid a storage charge. There's several factors that, you know, are included in that. But in general, I guess I'd agree with that. Later on the soybeans and earlier on the corn would be when I think we'd see our widest LDPs.
Hey, Zuzulo, you alluded to a higher plateau for corn prices when we spoke Friday afternoon. Would you care to put some numbers on a new trading range that could balance supply and demand? And I think it would be good to get cash prices along with allotted acreage. So, say, how about 84 million acres and 280 to 320?
Well, if you get the Nove bean Deese corn chart out and get their prices and look at the ratio, you're actually buying bean acres right now for next year. And so when we talk to producers, and I'll leave it at that right now, when we talk to producers, their tickle point seems to be 320 cash, Todd. And so if you use a normal 35-cent basis or 30-cent basis, you're going to need 350 December 07 futures to be able to buy acres from producers, especially now that you've had the wheat price drop. We've also heard a lot of guys in Illinois and Indiana say, as green as my beans are right now, it's going to be real hard to get my wheat planted after I go ahead and cut my beans. And so the wheat acres may not get as big as we thought in Illinois and Indiana, depending on the weather, and that'll naturally bring some corn acres too. But 320 is the cash price that seems to tickle everybody's fancy that we've talked to so far, but analytically it's too early to say.
Are you thinking that cash prices for corn will move that high?
Yes. If like we said on Friday, if you run on all eights, meaning the emerging markets stay strong, the U.S. recession is mild, and the dollar doesn't rally too swiftly.
I think it's a long time coming if we are going to see something like that. In spite of the name of this industry being futures markets, an awful lot of time the markets are guilty of not really looking past the end of their nose. And what I mean by that is, I mean, everybody out there in our position and others, speculators or farmers or what have you, you know, they're all doing the math. They're penciling out the 2007 supply and demand sheet, and it just looks like, you know, we are going to run out of corn. Well, the market's fully aware of that, and we've just been cascading downwards lately, flat price. So I don't think we're going to see a rally up to those kind of levels, you know, under the effort or guise of buying acres. I think farmers are going to plant every valuable acre they can, no matter what these prices are. And as Todd, as you said in the past few weeks ago, the largest planted acreage we've ever had in this country is when the prices were the absolute lowest, and it's like back in the mid-30s. I think he said over 100 million acres. So I really don't think it's going to take higher prices to buy acres. Now, I'm not saying that we won't at some point have a knee-jerk rush for corn, as, you know, probably near the end of a crop year, let's say, you know, next July, August, September kind of thing, you know, if in fact some of these usage numbers hold true or whatever. But I think it's going to be sort of a just-in-time knee-jerk type reaction rather than the markets in its great wisdom, you know, giving us this fantastic price to buy acres. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty bearish statement. Are you actually that bearish on this marketplace, or do you think it's just...
Well, I don't know that it's bearish. I think it's... I don't see why we would rally right now until the buyers are the ones who are going to, I think, take us up there, the ones who actually do have the need to cover the prices out there and secure supply, and that's just not there enough right now. Matter of fact, you could argue that an awful lot of this ethanol demand that everybody's so excited about is already priced in the market.
Well, yeah, I take that up for me, because we've talked about this before, that a lot of demand that it would be booked for next year for some of these plants is already on their ledgers. Is that right?
Well, I think there's probably some hedges on from the buyer standpoint out there. Yeah, I think that the demand is real that we're looking at in this corn, assuming what we assume today to know on the ethanol side of it. I would agree with Clayton on the fact that, you know, at soybeans at $5 or so in the cash market where they're at now, I'm not sure we need to get corn up as high as we would if cash soybeans for next fall were in the $6 area, for example. I do think we need to buy acres. I'm just not sure we need to go up to those kind of levels to buy them. I certainly believe with some kind of concern about crop conditions next spring or summer that we could get to those levels.
Mike, you want to defend that position?
Well, only from a standpoint that, you know, the market is trading right now brand new information from USDA and some private estimates that say you're going to need 10 billion gallons of ethanol supplied to the market, because that's how many ethanol plants are being built and plan to be built. And it doesn't seem to us that when the USDA comes out and says what makes an ethanol plant unprofitable, $30 a barrel crude oil, and you match that up, and you match that up with the emerging markets going higher in India and China and some of the other emerging markets that are coming on fairly quickly, that you're going to have a quick collapse in the markets. And one of the biggest things that killed the Asian tigers in the 1996-1997 time frame was real estate and hot money. And I think we've done a better job in the financial markets of controlling both commercial real estate and the hot money. And so those Asian markets and emerging markets are more secure than they were back in that time period. So if you put that together with the ethanol demand, and you have the lowest world stocks in both coarse grains and wheat in over 20 years, there's 4 or 8 cylinders we're talking about. And that's all I need to do is defend it as far as to say there's 5 or 6 things working in our favor right now. If those 5 or 6 things are joined by 2 or 3 more, then you've got the recipe for needing to go to historical levels.
Taking a look at some of the numbers from the Board of Trade, December oats at $2.50, we're up 12.5 this week. December wheat at $4 on the high, the low at 376. Their settlement price, and this is a new lead option, 392.5, down 7.5 from last week's September contract. July futures 427, and they finished 20.25 lower from last week. Taking a look at the numbers from the bean pit, and remember the September's all expired this week, so this is the same in the beans. November contract, your new lead option, 555 the high, the low at 528.5. And November beans were up 11.75 from last week's settlement in the September contract at 549.75. The new crop November at 611.5 were up 1.5 cents. Anybody else have something to add on the beans at this point? Because did I hear somebody say that the beans were high enough at this point to continue to keep acres? Was that you, Clayton? Did I hear that earlier? Maybe I just missed
earlier today.
Yeah.
Well, Mike had also talked about the bean-corn ratio, and I'd kind of talked about it a little bit, too. But, my own opinion is that I just think that the supply-demand of beans right now is the handwriting's on the wall, that I think any rally at this point is going to be very muted, with the possible exception, you got to qualify that, I guess, depending on this frost possibility Sunday or Monday and Tuesday nights, because that could be significant. I think the odds are heavily against it being real significant, but we just have to have a huge cutback in acres and a pretty lousy yield next year to bring that carryover much below about 350. And as such, I just do not see a lot of rally potential in beans myself, unless it's related to a dollar crisis. But that, too, is probably, you know, not real heavy on the odds.
One final question, and this one's on the feeder cattle. Mike, maybe you can take it. It's been a good 6 months for the feeder cattle. They've climbed from about $100 to $120. They were up on the very top of the range this week but posted a loss. Is a correction due? Will the trade range up at 120 hold? One, those are two separate questions. Which direction for feeder cattle?
We think lower with the seasonals and that the time period for the funds is peaking as far as them buying into it. The cutout values are dropping for both box beef and pork right now, Todd, so that's a pretty weak seasonal. I guess we think it needs a rest and maybe it'll come back in a couple months.
Taking a look at the numbers from the mercantile exchanges, they settled this week. The October had a high of 92.72.5, and the live cattle a low at 89.20. Their settlement at down 217.5 at $90.12.5, and the SEP feeders at 117.55 were off $1.02.5. October lean hogs settled at 55 lower at $66 even for the week. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Aaron Curtis.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Cool weather was the rule this week across Illinois as another in a series of upper-level low-pressure systems traversed the Midwest. Temperatures this week range from 7 degrees below normal in far northwestern Illinois to 3 degrees below normal in southeastern Illinois. Sunday was the warmest day of the week when temperatures pushed well into the 80s across the southern half of the state. As the low-pressure system pulled away from Illinois on Thursday, even sunshine couldn't push temperatures past the mid-70s. Rainfall was generally widespread and abundant this week. About the only place that did not get much rain was southwestern Illinois. Showers and thunderstorms developed in the unstable air over the state as the low crossed through. While most locations got some rain, the scattered nature of the showers and thunderstorms meant that some got a lot more than others. A slow-moving and persistent area of showers and thunderstorms in northeastern Illinois on early Wednesday produced several inches of rain, causing flooding from the south suburbs of Chicago around into northwestern Indiana. The start of harvest activities across Illinois could be challenging as we head into the last half of September. The overall pattern is not favoring long periods of dry, warm weather right now. Showers and thunderstorms with the front this weekend will be followed by much cooler but dry weather for much of this week. The next chance for rain could come as early as Thursday, but indications are now that a major rain-producing system could affect Illinois next weekend. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, Mike Zuzolo, Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Aaron Curtis of Commodity Risk Consultant at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. John now joins us to take a look at the agricultural markets. Thanks, Aaron, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Your first time on the show. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I started here in Midco here earlier this summer. Before that, I was with Bates Commodities just up the road here in Normal. Was there for 7.5 years. And before that, worked at a grain elevator in Assumption at the Assumption Co-op. So been on both the producer side and now more on the merchandising elevator side.
Aaron, going to ask you a question here because you've got that experience in both the producer side and the elevator side. If you're looking at one of our points of discussion earlier about buying corn here in the near term this fall, if corn is $2 or whether it's $2.20 or $2.25, is it really going to make any difference how much corn your elevators buy out there?
No, I don't think we're going to see much. I think elevators are being prepared for that. If that means putting corn on the ground or whatever, I don't think that they're planning on buying much. I think a lot of the customers, at least that our elevators are talking to, are fairly friendly this corn longer term. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of corn bought. And also, if they look back in their books, they bought a lot more corn this spring than they have in the years before. So they got some of that money to work with some of the producers do. The question is going to be, if there is no LDP, are we going to have some cash selling just because of some cash needs there? But right now, elevators are not planning on buying a whole lot of corn or beans going into harvest.
Well, if what you say is true, and I suspect it is, at least as far as corn goes, that begs the question, I guess, do you think then that the basis levels are probably about as weak as we're going to get it already?
Well, I think we've seen a tremendous improvement in Decatur. I mean, you look at Decatur this afternoon, they're posting nearby 2 over here on compared to the basis of December contract, which is surprised quite a bit of people coming into harvest, especially with the carryover we had coming into harvest. The question is going to be, of course, once this weather straightens out, if it does straighten out, what's going to happen to these nearby levels? I wouldn't be surprised if they don't back off just a little bit. But they're also improving the basis bids all the way down the line into December and January, which is a little bit of an anomaly this time of year. So I think it goes to the point that farmers aren't going to sell much, and elevators are going to try to hold on to all they can. So we anticipate the basis levels could see some improvement once we get through this cloud of harvest. Now, the question is going to be, of course, what the weather does. If that delays this thing and drags it out, then we might not see much of a weakening of the basis here short term.
Do you think that the August cash low will hold?
I think we're pretty close to saying that. I mean, obviously, a little too early to tell. It depends on if we get a big glut of harvest here, and that forces that out. But I think we're really close to the cash lows, and try to work up from here a little bit.
Mike, if you've got a question for him?
Well, Aaron, are there any expectations early here with South America from either Midco or Growmark as far as what you see is in terms of acreage reduction or price projections that need to stimulate acres, especially in Brazil?
Well, not too much yet. I mean, I know I've read some of the private forecasts out there in Brazil, of course, talking quite a bit less bean acres. I don't know if I'm quite in that 15 to 16% less bean acre category. Obviously, I think there's going to be some bean acres that are going to be lost there down there this year, but it's a little bit too early to tell from our standpoint anyway what those losses are going to be.
Have you taken any corn in yet this year?
We have down around that St. Louis area. They're busy. I think some of our customers down there maybe 20-25% done. Yields all over the place. Today we heard one where a customer went out and did a one-acre patch of corn and got 88 bushels. 1 mile down the road, he did another one-acre patch, and it went 201. So quite a bit of variability out there. Also, hearing some in that St. Louis in that 100 to 120 area. But you also realize that you got to take that with a little bit of grain of salt because there was just not a lot of rain down in that pocket of Illinois.
Still not a bad average on the 2 acres, I guess.
No, that's right. Another thing we're seeing, too, is that with this delay in harvest, we got some train slowed in some areas of Illinois, so we're all seeing, also seeing some discounts on drying in some areas trying to spur on a little corn harvest.
Aaron, what are some of the things from the elevator standpoint, the people you work with, how are they approaching this ethanol and this new demand? I mean, it's definitely changing the flow of grain. What are some of the things you see out there the elevator's doing to deal with it?
Well, I think that's going to be an interesting point over the next few years and trying to get a handle on that. And I don't know for sure if anybody got the right answer yet, but the question's going to be, especially if you're in a train loading area or something like that, and all of a sudden an ethanol plant comes on, you know, how are you going to be able to source some corn? So I think, I don't know if I have a good answer for that, Bill, but I think it's obviously going to be a challenge here as we move on into the future on where this all this corn is going to come and how we're going to be able to compete with ethanol. I think the main force from an elevator standpoint anyway is that you got to try to be a storage for this corn, because I think the ethanol plants are going to need it. You want them to come knocking on your door. So I think that's going to be a challenge here in the next year, is try to get enough storage in here for some of these elevators to meet those demands.
Aaron, let me put you on the spot here. And maybe you don't want to answer this, but where are you guys putting your hedges right now for grain you buy from farmers? What month in the corn?
A lot of it been sticking to the March, just because you look at the March D's, or excuse me, the D's March spread is out here to 14 cents. You got full carry right now with the almost close to 85% of full carry here. You look at almost 5 cents a month. That's pretty decent money. So these are pretty widespread, you know, for what we've seen here in a while. So we've been throwing about in the marsh, just kind of selling the carry.
Aaron, we appreciate you being with us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Aaron Curtis is a commodity risk consultant at Midco in Bloomington, Illinois. And now a final word from our panelist, and we'll start with you, Mike Zuzulo.
Well, we'll watch those spreads in the corn, because if that August low in the cash market is firming up and we're down at the bottom end, we should see those spreads tighten and the market get more inverted and less carrying charge.
Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing.
The Treasury Secretary is going to China next week. I think that's something that you need to watch, make sure that something surprising doesn't come out of that, like a reevaluation on the currency. And I hope everybody has a safe and bountiful harvest.
And Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities.
I think it's important that you keep your risks contained as you do either sell corn in the fall or take the LDP if there ever is one available in the corn. And not just completely bank on public opinion in terms of where these prices could go, but do the paperwork and try to keep your options open.
We'd like to thank our panel of analysts, Mike Zuzulo, Bill Mayer, and Clayton Pope. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access Commodity Week and all of our analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.